Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Bailey et al. Titled Ischemic Preconditioning and Exercise-Induced Endothelium-Dependent Function. This article published online June 22, 2012. My guests today are consulting editor David Gutterman, lead author Dick Tyson, and expert Michael Widlansky. Let's get started.
Today we're going to be discussing a very interesting article. It's a twist on the traditional concept of remote preconditioning. Remote preconditioning usually refers to a situation where brief episodes of ischemia in one tissue confers protection from ischemia in another tissue. In the study we're going to discuss today by Dr. Tyson's group, they tested whether a preconditioning ischemic stimulus applied to the legs could provide protection against endothelial dysfunction that occurs in the arm after intense physical activity. In healthy men, acute intense exercise results in a reduction in flow-mediated vasodilation. That's the indicator of endothelial function. Intermittent leg ischemia applied to the leg prevented this drop in brachial flow-mediated dilation after exercise. Importantly, they also observed that the preconditioning stimulus also improved performance times on a 5K run. There are a number of interesting questions that are raised by this translational research study. I'd like to start with Dr. Tyson, the senior author of the paper. Dick, could you tell us the rationale for the study and some of the clinical implications it provides?
The reason why we performed this study was that recent years, there's an increase in attention to the effect of acute exercise. We know the effects of chronic exercise, but studies have produced conflicting results on the impact of acute exercise on the vasculature. And studies suggest that mainly the intense exercise causes a decrease in flow-mediated dilation, kind of suggestive for endothelial dysfunction. And we also repeatedly found that result, and based on some interesting findings from other studies from the field of cardiology on remote ischemic preconditioning, we thought that remote ischemic preconditioning may also prevent the decrease that we typically see with the intense exercise training. So the main finding in our paper is that the decrease in FMD that we saw in the brachial artery after running exercise, intense running exercise, could be prevented by remote ischemic preconditioning of repeated cuff inflations around the lower limbs. And I think it adds to the strength and the potential of a remote ischemic preconditioning to prevent injury, either locally or systemically. A potential clinical implication is kind of interesting, I have to say, because what we typically see is that intense exercise leads to an immediate decrease in flow-mediated dilation, which we assume to be bad or not good because it reflects endothelial dysfunction. And the acute finding that intense exercise leads to a decrease in flow-mediated dilation is in line with a study from DeGoto where they performed exercise training. And when they performed moderate intensity training, they found an improvement in endothelial function. But when they performed intense exercise training, they found no improvement in endothelial function. So in that sense, it may be beneficial to protect this decrease that you typically see during intense exercise. However, you could also argue that this acute decrease in FMD is actually a good thing and something that you want to eventually improve your endothelial function. And this is something that at the moment we don't know.
Mike Widlansky is an expert in human endothelial function, and he joins us today to help discuss the implications of this paper. Mike, what aspects of the study did you find most intriguing, and what limitations can you point out?
Thank you, David. There were a couple of key points, I think, that are unique to this paper, I think, that contribute to our understanding of the regulation of vascular function. A large amount of the literature over the last 10 to 15 years has concentrated on the effects of chronic exercise training on vascular endothelial function and concentrating on whether it is the vascular bed that is being exercised that derives the most benefit or whether there is any benefit derived in remote circulations. And this data would suggest, at least acutely, that there is impact systemically from alterations that occur in remote vascular beds. And I think that is an important contribution. The second contribution here is the concept that in the peripheral vasculature, that a remote preconditioning event can actually regulate vascular endothelial function in a distant location. That would suggest that there are factors being created in probably locally where the area of ischemia has occurred that are then circulated systemically and overall affecting vascular function. And that has tremendous implications potentially from a clinical standpoint, because if one could ID those factors that are being made, it is theoretically possible to find either currently understood or novel vasoactive substances that may be important in vascular regulation that are underappreciated today.
Thank you, Mike. Dick, I'm curious, you used intense exercise as the model of acute endothelial dysfunction. Do you think that the benefits of the remote preconditioning also extend to other acute stressors like hyperglycemia or acute elevations in blood pressure due to other means?
I think that the frank answer is that at the moment we don't know. And the vast majority of the literature has focused on specifically the vasculature. So whether it also regulates some other aspects, I don't know at the moment, but I would not be surprised if it has implications beyond that of the vasculature.
Oh, very interesting. I'd like to talk further about the observation you made of increased performance in these athletes. With this being a year for the Olympic Games and with medals being won by margins as narrow as hundredths of a second, could preconditioning be an acceptable training technique to improve performance?
First of all, the effect that we found, 2.3% improvement in the 5-kilometer run, we found that in moderately trained subjects. They, on average, ran the 5K in 21 to 22 minutes. The world record at the moment is 12 minutes and 37 seconds. So there's still a 10-minute gap between the guys we tested and the athletes at the Olympics. But if you look in the literature at the moment, a few studies have been done in elite athletes, and you see about 1% improvement in some athletes. One study from a Canadian group examined national level swimmers, so they were actually elite athletes, and they improved their 100 meter swimming with 0.7 seconds. And we performed a study in rugby players from the England national team, and they also improved. They showed about 1% less fatigue during repeated sprints. So I would not dare to say that at the moment all Olympic athletes have to use this, but the limited amount of data suggests that there might be some benefit also for the elite athletes.
I think it's fascinating that the implications of this paper extend to a wide audience, a wide range of subjects, from those with vascular disease to those who compete as elite athletes. So, Dick, you're not injecting any drugs to achieve this level of preconditioning. You're doing it in a physiological manner. Do you think this would be considered acceptable, or is this tantamount to doping to enhance performance?
That's an excellent question, and I'm not a doping expert, but the way how I see ischemic preconditioning is that you expose the body to a physiological stimulus and the body responds in a physiological way. I think there is an analogy to endurance athletes who sleep in the hypoxic chambers to increase their red blood cell count, and that's also approved by the WADA. And I think there is an analogy, because in both cases, you expose the body to a stimulus and the body responds to it. And that it improves performance is a great thing, but I don't think it's an illegal way to improve or enhance your performance.
Those are excellent points. It's interesting because we simply don't understand exactly what the preconditioning elements that are most important are to improving performance, and whether or not they may vary between individuals. And there are so many variables to be accounted for. I think it'll be a difficult decision if it were to come up for the International Olympic Committee to make whether or not this type of conditioning would be fair game.
I just want to thank Dick and Mike for discussing this very fascinating paper, looking at a novel effect and possible clinical use of remote preconditioning.
Thank you for listening to this AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast.